us in a time of worship. So thank you, thank you, thank you. If you are with us as a guest or a visitor today, I know there's an outline in the bulletin this morning, and you're looking at it, and you're thinking, great, of all days to attend a worship assembly, the preacher's preaching on giving. As John said, we made an announcement. He thought I should preach the sermon before we take up the offering, but we'll get through this. Let me read the verses again that were just read to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul said, now concerning the collection for the saints, now there's a collection, as I have given order, there's a kind of a command and obligation involved, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, so do ye, he writing to the brethren in Corinth, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, says, this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity. But God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I'm going to add one other verse to this. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Paul said, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Ah. So we're going to talk about giving just a little bit in our lesson this morning. I heard a story of a man named Sam. He was being arraigned before a judge on the charge of being mean-spirited to his wife. So Sam appears before the judge, and the judge reminds Sam of that, and he says, Sam, you're being accused of being mean-spirited toward your wife. Do you have anything to say? And Sam said, Judge, I plead guilty and waive the hearing. The judge said, what do you mean you waive the hearing? Sam says, I just mean I don't want to hear any more about it. Sometimes that's the way we are when we think about a sermon on giving. You want to say, Brian, can't I just plead guilty and waive the hearing? I don't want to hear a sermon on giving. Years ago, we had a man that family worshiped here. His name was Palmer Wilson. And he's passed away now, but when he was worshiping with us, he was our treasurer. And he always came to me and he'd say, Brian, you need to preach more sermons on giving. He was the treasurer. But I said, why, Palmer, why would you want me to preach more sermons on giving? And he said, Brian, because you'll dry up every cow in the country by milking it less and less. That was his philosophy. It's a biblical subject. When I put in your notes, we need to be taught about giving. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Give, and it'll be given unto you. In Ephesians 4, verse 28, says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good. need to just note them really rather briefly. But number one in the text, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, upon the first day of the week, upon the first day of the week, God designated time for us to cast into the treasury. It was what he's requiring of these brethren in Corinth to do. When you assemble together for worship, part of your worship activity involves casting into the treasury. So concerning that collection, it was done when they were gathered upon that first day of the week. And the purpose of this collection, or this offering, was to provide disaster relief to brethren in Jerusalem. So they were to take up this offering, or this collection, because there were brethren over here that were in need, and he said, we need to help them. So that just as these brethren in Corinth have, they need, they have to give to someone else. Our other congregations were involved in this ministry. You continue reading the chapters. And there were brethren in Galatia, Macedonia, Achaia, and Ephesus. And Paul admonishes them or instructs them to give also to the relief of these brethren in Jerusalem. They needed to not only to give, to be concerned about their own needs and sustenance, but also for the needs of others. There will always be opportunities to give of our treasure, our time, and our talent in service to God and to one another. But there's a time that God says to give, especially of our treasure, when we assemble together for worship upon the first day of the week. In the next verse, verse 2, it says, let every one of you lay by him in store. Let every one of you. He just preceded that phrase by saying, I've given order to the churches in Galatia. So he said, and even so do you. So writing to Christians, to the brethren, to the churches, says, I want, just as other brethren and other congregations are giving, says, I want you to give. To give. Everyone. By the way, this is a wonderful time to teach our children to give, though they're not required in the text. You know, children, they don't earn a living. They don't receive wages. But I remember my parents always giving me and my brothers change to put in the offering when it came by. There was always something in our hands that we had to, you know, cast in. They were trying to teach us a habit of giving, especially on the first day of the week. It was an obligation that God would give us as we grew older later in life. I remember the story of a parent doing that to their children. That parents called their child over and said, now, I'm going to give you 2 nickels. And they laid it down on the mantle of the fireplace mantle and said, now, this one's for you and this one's for God to put in when you put in the treasury. The child said, okay. When it came time for Lord's Day morning, the child went back and only, no, there's only 1 nickel there. He said, oh, no, started crying. And the parents came in and said, oh, son, what's the matter? He says, I've lost the Lord's nickel. Sometimes that's the way we get, don't we? Humorous story, but sometimes when we don't have treasure, oh, God, I lost what I was going to give you. But let every one of you lay by him in store. Number 3 is verse 2. As God prosper you. Oh. You've been prospered. Or don't answer out loud. Unless you say yes. Been prospered. Now put in your notes, how much to give is not stated. And I'm not about to tell you how much to give. Because, you know, if God did state an exact amount or a percentage, you know, we would give it and we would be assured that we've given enough. If God said, oh, Brian, I want you to give this precise amount, you know, I'd do a little check off this. Ah, okay, don't expect any more, God. I've given what you wanted me to give. I don't care if there's another need over here or over there. God, I've given you what you said to give. But God doesn't say how much to give, does he? Just as you've been prospered. So we're to determine how blessed we are from God and give accordingly. You might ask yourself, what can I give? give accordingly. As God has prospered us. Many times we hear the one who's officiating at the table. We did this morning too. When Tip was, came time for Tip to make his comments at the table. After the communion was over, we mentioned about the, this is now time to take up the offering. And he mentioned, help us to give a portion back to you. I'm glad he didn't say a small portion. Give a portion. So just as Tip would say, the Lord help us to give as generously and gladly as you have given to us. And may we also give you our talent and time. But at this time, it's time for us to cast into the treasury. And of course, any portion we give by the comparison of what God has given us doesn't measure. We just give what we how we've been prospered. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Do you hear that? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So where, I'll just ask the question, where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? Number four, I'll move on. Number four is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. He that sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. You see, I can't afford not to give. I can't afford to be stingy. Because I want people to give to me, not necessarily treasure, but time and talent. Give me, you know, what you can in friendship and fellowship. There's needs in my life besides treasure. And if I can't give you of myself, then I shouldn't expect anything to come back my way. He that there's a principle of life here. If you give sparingly, don't expect much back. Give bountifully. Expect a great return. Give, Jesus said again in Luke 6, verse 38, and it shall be given unto you. But there's one more. In Proverbs 19, verse 17, he that has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and that which he has given will he pay again. He that has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and that which he's given will he pay again? I don't know the author of this little poem, but he says, give as you would if an angel awaited your gift at the door. Give as you would if tomorrow found your giving here all over. Give as you would to the master if you met his loving look. Give as you would of your substance if his hand the offering took. Just a visual. A little image. Get a picture of. So I just put in your notes just for you to think about. Every farmer knows this principle. If he didn't plant seed, don't look for a harvest. You didn't plant seed, don't look for a harvest. Number five, in your notes. In verse 7, every man, according as he's purposed in his heart. Now before it was as God has prospered you, let that be a determining factor. But now when we make our offering, let's give according as we have purposed in our heart, and then so let him give. So I put in your notes, there's a benefit in purpose giving. Give with a purpose. You know, before arriving at the building, make a deliberate and thoughtful amount to give, perhaps rather than waiting until the moment the offering is taken. Plan ahead. You know, I've been blessed, I've prospered. I've put some thought into it, prayer. I'm going to give this amount. I'm going to give. you give purposely, it encourages others to give. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2, Achaia has been prepared for a year past. Remember this offering that Paul is talking about in all these different churches for the poor saints in Jerusalem? They planned that for a year ahead of time. So Paul says, Achaia has been prepared for a year past, and your zeal has stirred up many of them. So when you give, it encourages others to give. A third reason for to give with a purpose is because the leaders in the congregation here can better plan. They can work. They can budget, prepare for various ministries that we're involved in. And then the last one I put, if you give with a purpose, you will likely give regularly. You'll give upon the first day of the week. Just an added note. Yes. Even when you're away on vacation. I don't know, look at anybody. If you purpose in your heart, you will be more likely to give regularly, weekly, even when you are away from here on your vacation, or you're away on business, or you are absent because of illness, you will still cast into the treasury because it's your purpose to give upon the first day of the week. No more. Let me go to the last. Number six. You know, we still have, the congregation here still has obligations and needs. Every week, just like you and your personal business at home. You depend on most of you, a guaranteed income in some form or fashion every week. Same thing in a congregation. So if you have purpose in your heart, purpose, and as God has prospered, you will likely give every week, even when you are not here. All right, I said I'd go to number six. Number six, in verse 7 of your notes. For God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. See, there's three kinds of giving. At least it might be more, but I'll mention three. Three kinds of giving. You can give grudgingly, or you can give out of a sense of duty, or you can give with thanksgiving. If you're giving grudgingly, you're saying, I hate to give. Oh, I hate to give. That's a grudge giving. I'm going to give, but oh, I hate to give. If you give out of a sense of duty, you're saying, oh, no, I have to give. Oh, man, I'm so obligated, I have to give. So happiness in it. But thanksgiving says, I want to give. I want to do that. The grudge giving comes from constraint. The duty giving comes from a sense of obligation. Thanksgiving comes from a gracious heart. God, you blessed me so much. I can't help but give back to you. Even other people, friends, family, neighbors, when you have that sense that they've given to you in some way, what do you need? I want to give because I know you've given to me. Reciprocal love. The last one. I should, but in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14, it says, let all your things be done with charity. But all things still in that context of giving. Let all things be done with charity, love, and giving. Thanksgiving. The last one I just put was sacrificially. Sacrificially. I remember a story of a minister who wrote to a wealthy businessman requiring a donation to what the preacher thought was a worthy cause. But the minister received a rather curt refusal in a letter with these words. It says, Minister, as far as I can see, this Christian business is just one continuous give, give, give. So the minister wrote back, says, I wish to thank you for one of the best definitions of the Christian life that may be given. You are right, dear business, and living for Jesus should always entail one continuous give, give, give. Give your time, give your talent, give your treasure, But all of us have something to give. Just kind of in closing and added thoughts, some people wonder, you know, what when they give, what happens to the treasure or the collection. We break it down into several areas. One concerns maintenance. I may kind of make a short, quick reference to that. You know, just a general upkeep of property and grounds. You know, there's light bulbs, carpet cleaning, SDG&E, cleaning supplies, insurance, tables and chairs, repairs, remodeling. The fire marshal came several weeks ago, and he's requested us to purchase some additional safety equipment. The brethren here, they purchased a preacher clock back there for the wall, so I know when to quit. A brand new clock put up this week. You wonder where your treasure is going. We have educational supplies, bulletin, printing costs, classroom books, other related items. We have missions. There's cover cost of sending our young people to summer camp, which we do. We pay for all of our young people when they go. Young people go free of charge to their parents. We support two families attending preacher training schools. With Westview Boys Home in Hollis, Oklahoma, that we send a monthly check to. There's preaching and missionaries that are listed on the back of the bulletin. Latin American missions, Steve Worley in Nigeria, Robert Hall in India. We're having a one-day vacation Bible school this summer that's going to entail some additional costs that were not in our budget at the beginning of the year. Dennis and John send our class books to prisoners in the World Bible School Ministry when we're finished with them. There's benevolence that we're also involved in. There's the disaster relief efforts that occur across our nation, and we contribute to that, just as Paul, in the reading of our text, said that, you know, there's brethren over here that need relief, and I'll ask all these other congregations, would you take up an offering so we can help them? We do the same thing. There's requests from our missionaries in addition to our monthly support towards them. They make a special request, just as things happen in your life and mine, things that we didn't plan on. Things happen in the lives of our missionaries too, and they say, well, this is an emergency situation. Can you help us? We have a food pantry that's used throughout the year. We have requests for emergency situations from family and friends and even strangers that come to our door. And the list goes on. So we need to be taught to be a people that give, because there will always be people in need of receiving. Always. As we come by or in situations, I hope they receive. Because I and we need to give. It'll be a time in my life when I need to receive. So it's a reason why we give. Give as you've been prospered and as you've purposed in your heart. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. You're here this morning and not a member of the New Testament church. You want to give your life in dedicated service to God by living a Christian life. There's a simple plan or a formula or steps that you need to take. Number one is rather obvious. You need to hear what God requires of you. Amen. In Romans chapter 10, Paul said, how can you believe in someone you've not heard? So you need to hear about God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Then you need to believe that message. Jesus himself said in John 8 verse 24, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. So once you've heard that good news message, believe it. And then number three, the third step or plan or formula or steps to take. Jesus himself said in Luke 13, verse 3, except you repent, you shall all in like manner perish. So we ask you to, the Bible message is change your life. Give it in service to God. Make God a priority. And then number four, you'll want to confess your faith that you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And when you do that, you can be, number five, be baptized for remission of sins. Just as the Ethiopian asked Philip after he heard Philip preach to him Jesus, he said, well, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. He said, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. they stopped the chariot. They both went down into the water, both Philip and the Ethiopian, or and the eunuch. And Philip baptized him. Came out of the water, the Ethiopian went on way rejoicing because he had heard the good news message and believed it and obeyed it. That's an invitation we extend every time we assemble together. So we give you time to reflect on that invitation by singing a song, what we call an invitation song. If you need to respond in a public way or while we're gathered here, please do so. Simply come and have a seat on seat beside me and let your request be known. Then let's stand together and we'll sing this song together, a song of encouragement.